You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts, Brian Smith and Anthony Askew, with special guest, Philip O'Connor. Tonight's episode, Oshi Moments.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the Brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we take a trip back to 1989 to sample Pat Labor on TV. And then we will travel further back to 1985 to discuss Angel's Egg. And joining us tonight to do all this travelling back in time is Philip O'Connor.
Hello, everyone. It's so great to be here. Wonderful to see you.
So, before we get to Angel's Egg that Philip loved so much and is so happy to be here to talk about, let's talk about just enough to bluff feature. Yes, the words in this podcast, you may have to rearrange them after listening to make sense of them.
We will be providing a transcript of this broadcast for later dissemination.
Okay, so this is our regular feature. We take a look at a classic anime TV program that we should have seen some of and watch an episode or two so we can say, yep, I've seen some of that. Now, this is a cheat because I've seen a lot of this already.
But Anthony, of course, have you not
seen any of Pat Labor on TV before?
I always thought it'd be terrible.
What do you think now?
Well,
now you watched episode
one. It's a lot more lighthearted and a lot more accessible. I expected boring, just Gundam boring. I've got this terrible thing with robots at the moment, and I'm not getting proved otherwise. But this is it's all right.
It's definitely. I think the robots is the only thing it has.
It does, thankfully. Thankfully so. But no, everyone's it's quite lighthearted. It's all right. I don't know what to expect of them being dull, so it's good in my books.
Did you not know that it was a cop show?
No, I really didn't know the whole idea behind the Labors being kind of robots that do stuff, and then the patrol Labor, which is Pat Labor. I didn't know anything about it. I just remember seeing this grey-looking robot on every cover, and I thought, oh, it looks terrible. But I quite like the design of the robot when you kind of get some characters to flesh out the design in your mind. It works a little bit better.
Okay. Philip, are you on board with Pat Labor already?
Yeah, I am. I bought all of the old Central Park Media DVDs back in the day.
Gosh. Me too. And I bought the MVM Blu-rays of the OEVs as well. I oddly don't have the movies. I think I used to have them taped off the TV. Mm-hmm.
I think I used to, I know that I still have movie 2 from manga DVD, and I know I did own movie 1, but it's lost somewhere in the ether of the house. So I haven't seen the mythical third movie, which may or may not be an actual Pat Labor movie.
That's the 13 one, isn't it? Yeah, I've not seen that either. I've seen the comedy shorts, which came out around the same time.
Comedy shorts? What kind of...
Yeah, super deformed comedy shorts. Man.
They were all the rage back in the day.
Feels like it's all the rage now. Yeah,
but this was, I think this was like the early 2000s, though, wasn't it?
So, yeah.
It was a throwback.
I like Pat Labor. I don't know how, I never know how to pronounce it. It's either Pat Labor.
Yeah, I always wanted to say Pat. Before I heard it said, I was always saying Pat Labor. And then I heard it and it was, oh, it's Labor. Of course, it's
okay,
Pat Labor.
I always liked it. I mean, I knew going in that it wasn't really going to be, you know, a straight laced adventure stroke cop show. It's actually, and it's kind of, I think it and what was the other show that I watched that is kind of the same. But basically, the cast of Pat Labor are this way Keith David describes Bruce Willis and the crew in Armageddon as a bunch of unemployables that I wouldn't trust with a potato gun. They're kind of like that. They're really the misfits of the entire Tokyo police department, and I think that's why I like them so much.
Yeah, they are, and this first episode gives you a good introduction to most of the main characters, and then the remaining main character shows up in episode two.
Ah.
I think one of the things that I didn't notice was I didn't realize until I was speaking to people, like I'd watched Pat Labor way back in the day, and then I bought all of the DVDs, and then I kind of, like, social media became a thing for us, and I didn't actually realize how much of an hatred there is for one particular character who people describe as a bit of a deus ex machina character, and should I say it now, or do you want to just talk about a bit
about it? No, you can say, because I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's Kanuka Clancy.
Really? I have not encountered that at all. I've only encountered people who that's their favorite character.
Who?
Yeah, I mean, like...
the character who shows up in the second episode. If you watch the,
I never
the,
watch previews preview. Unless it's One Punch Man's previews.
And then, in which case, Anthony's all over them. Now, Kanuka, I get on social media that she's a bit of a deus ex machina. People can't stand her because she's so perfect. But if you think about it, the second in command, I think it is the... Oh, where is she now? Shinobu from Division 1.
She's not second in command. She's first in command.
Yeah, she's first in command. Sorry. Oh, yeah. She's actually a bit of a more deus ex machina. I mean, she's the perfect officer. She has a perfect home life. She takes care of her parents. I mean, she's kind of like... If we're going to talk about a perfect character, like, Shinobu is more... a perfect character, and I never understand the hatred for Kanuka Clancy. She's awesome.
I've never heard of such hatred before. I don't know what circles you're going in, Philip.
I can't.
You want to get out of those circles quick.
I can't say for certain who it is because I don't want to get them into trouble. But
the boys are going to get them.
But here's the thing: I always defended Kanuka. I thought she was.
Oh, we've lost him.
Oh, we've lost Philip.
You always thought he was.
We've lost him.
He was
the haters have got after him. They've cut him off.
Oh, he's back.
The team. Oh,
right. Yeah, you're breaking up, Philip. We lost you entirely there for a bit, and then you came back really loud.
Okay, sorry.
You were saying you always thought she was, and then you were gone.
Yeah, and then they got you. This person who you can't name. They're trying to stop naming them.
I always thought she was pretty cool. I found that with the actual cast itself, the main cast are a bit of a bunch of unemployables, but the thing is they're nice people. But then if you actually pay attention to the show, especially the TV show, not so much the OVAs, it's not really that apparent. But if you watch the TV series for more than 4 or 5 episodes, there are always these background guys who are just the world's worst. Like when Kanuka is introduced into the show properly, she comes in and she speaks perfect Japanese and everyone's looking at her because she's a bit of a babe. And then she opens her mouth and says stuff in English, perfect English. And all of those background idiots I was talking about suddenly start screaming and hollering. All you can see is the senior officers going, it's good. It's brilliant.
She sounds good. Not a bloody crap character. She looks good as well. I like her hair.
I like the idea that in the future, policing in Japan will become so mundane that they will bring people in that ordinarily would never have gotten through the actual initial first year at police academy.
Yeah. But then also bring in this super tough New York cop to help
out. Yeah, just to clean house, you know, to put him back. And I love how Kanuka tries valiantly, and I know that we only like watched a couple of episodes, but later in episodes, like Kanuka valiantly tries to bring them into some sort of reputable kind of condition, but it never works. And she,
well, I believe Bailey just bring Ota into that sort of condition.
Yeah, but it never works, and she gives up. And I think by the end of the show, she's much of a bad misfit character than the rest of them.
Well, yeah, we should say halfway through the show because. She's gone.
I know.
Replaced.
I know.
Righty ho. I don't know what's going on. Phillip's in the background there. We can hear some strange noises happening.
Sorry about that.
Should I watch more of this? If I had the time.
Yes, you should watch. Watch. Yes.
Does it cover a big plot at any point, or is it just.
Yes, eventually it does. But it's a lot of. It's a lot like The Bill early on, back when The Bill was good. Half-hour procedural.
Oh, well, you're reaching for there.
Really I'm old enough to remember when The Bill was good. When The Bill was half-hour long and wasn't a soap opera, it was...
Bob Cryer was a hunk.
The Bill.
It was a really good show. Okay, on to our main topic. Another Mamoru Oshii joint. And it is from 1985. It is Angel's Egg. And Anthony said he wanted to do the synopsis.
This is dreadful. And I also said, I'm going to find him one. Because I'm the worst at synopsizing anything. But here we go, because we're going to discuss it, I would imagine.
I was going to say, I think the guy doing the IMDb one, he almost, in fact, gives up at the end of the description.
Well, the one I'm going to steal is is probably the one you're looking at. So Angel's Egg is about a mysterious young girl who's wandering a desolate, otherworldly landscape carrying a large egg. There you go. That's what you're getting, because I want to go into detail. I want to discuss it. I don't want to give brief full descriptions. I want brief. So then we can discuss and find out how much we loved it.
Okay. So let's first of all say whether or not this was the first time we've watched it or our history with this film. So I saw the end of this at a convention once in the 90s as I was coming in to watch whatever was coming on after it. It did not make much sense
seen the end. Okay.
Yeah. I think we discussed it on the podcast before. There's lots of things where I'd just seen the end because I was going into a video room to catch the thing afterwards. And then in 2009, they showed it at Leeds International Film Festival. So I've seen this in the cinema. And they had to get it sent over, and then they got it subtitled by people at Sheffield University. It was cutting it a bit fine. I think they said when they asked for a copy of it, I believe the initial reply they said was, why?
Why indeed?
And then I've watched it again just for this podcast. And I like it a lot. How about you, Elliot? He says knowingly.
Have we Elliot. Lost him or is he just stewing?
What?
Oh, Philip, what did I say Elliot for? I'm so tired. Like,
who are we bringing into the show here? I mean, God. Who else have you?
We've got Elliot Meek.
Yes. I'm so tired.
Due to a bizarre transporter accident, Meek and Elliot Page.
I don't have the energy to argue with Philip when he is going to tell us what he doesn't like it. But go ahead, Philip.
Brian, I really, really, really. I'm like your best friend. I'm so happy to be friends with you. But I'm really telling you that our friendship has really been tested by watching this movie again. I hate this movie. I hate this movie so bad. I saw this back when Channel 4 used to run this as like a gimmick on late night at 8 o'clock.
They never did. Why do
I have this memory of watching it on TV? I know for well because
it's never been released. That you might have seen the thing that samples it.
Oh God, are we still talking about in the aftermath? Because oh God, I hate this show. I hate this movie. I hate it. I hate it. Jesus, it's inflicted itself so badly on me that I can't even remember in what context.
It's got into your dreams and you think you saw it on Channel 4.
Jesus. Listen, this is how bad I dislike this movie, right? I decided to... I watched it ages ago on Fansub, right? And then I totally lost the file. And then I got it again for this show. And I rewatched it today and yesterday and broke it into two pieces because I remember just being so broken by it the last time that I couldn't get through. It's only an hour and 11 minutes long, and I had to break it into two pieces and a whole day to get it through, you know. But I swear to God Almighty, I came out of it going, I hate this movie so much that in the interim between me finishing it today and us doing this podcast, I recorded a record-breaking 1,000-word essay for my own website in 15 minutes about how much I hate this show. Like, I just punched out 1,000 words in 15 minutes and said, there, I'm done. And just, I hate this. Can someone else start?
So you don't want anything Anthony, more say to do something, with, please. With this film, apparently, ever.
Actually, the end paragraph of my essay was, I'm not devoting any more time to Mamoru Oshii ever again.
And then the camera pans out of you sat in your room finishing off the essay again and again and again and again.
I told you not to turn around.
But yes, I watched this back in November the 10th this year. It was yesterday. I watched it yesterday for the first time. And I watched it and I was tired after. I felt exhausted. It was a journey, and then 5 minutes after, 5 minutes, well, no, the instant I finished watching, I was like, oh God, I don't know what I think. And then 5 minutes later, I was like, it was all right. 10 minutes later, it just got better and better. The more I thought about it, the more I realise this is what I like. You know, in the film Wall-E, I like the first half of the film when it's all silent, and that's the best bit, and this is what this is. It's pretty much a silent film with very, very deep, or maybe not so deep if you read about it, but at least on a first top of the surface, it's hard to see what it's all about. But I liked it a lot, and I'm very surprised that you dislike it, Philip. I am very surprised. I almost feel like this is, you know, this got your name written all over it. You're in the egg, ready to hatch.
And it was empty all along. And
Maruoshi is crushing you with his giant crucifix motorcycle pogo stick thing.
I still kind of don't know what it's about. I do, but I mean...
Hey, I watched it two and a bit times. I have no idea what it's about. I mean, I know that he was in training to become a Catholic priest at some point. Mm-hmm. And that there's various bits of Eurosite Sura that's got Christian imagery. Like the time when a giant sentient blackboard eraser is crucified in one episode. It's like,
jeez.
It's comedic, but...
Do you know what I think is that if Oshii had really become a priest like he was supposed to, it would have his classes for the new initiates would have been something like that scene from Father Ted, where you know Dougal talks to the bishop for 5 seconds, and then the bishop comes away going, "It's all bullshit, all of it. None of it makes any sense. Why are we still doing this?" I was like, I try to imagine Mamoru Oshii as a priest, and I'm no trouble because he just comes across as dry as a biscuit.
But the other thing I love about Oshii is he
has this.
Can you hear us, Philip? We can hear
someone doing the dishes. Oshii in the background. He's tied to a. He's taken prisoner for this.
Yeah, here's the thing. I cleared the entire kitchen of people and did everything for them so they wouldn't be here. And you know what? Like, literally as we started recording, they all decided, you know what I need to do? I need to get dinner. I need to get a cup of tea. I need to get everything else.
Are they cooking eggs?
No.
Well, no. Good.
This is terrible. This is awful. This is the worst. I never work with these people again. Anyway, The thing about Oshii is that the one thing I did learn about Oshii is that he has it's not a rivalry, but it's kind of a hate relationship with Miyazaki. He thinks that Miyazaki's work is very whimsical, which is kind of an understatement if you consider like what Miyazaki does for a living. And Miyazaki says the guy takes so much seriously. Like, Miyazaki is the most laid back person I've ever seen interviewed, and even he comes across as, dude, lighten up, please.
Well, I don't even think Oshii knows what. But you know when somebody just makes a film,
that exactly,
like a David Lynch film.
Yeah,
he pretends he knows what's going on, and I think he doesn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the thing. I think in the Beautiful Dreamer commentary, the person who's interviewing asks him about all the military imagery at the start, and says, "Is that trying to say something?" And these guys said, "No, we just wanted to draw tanks."
They probably just wanted to draw fish ghosts.
I remember.
Yes.
I remember one of the. I interviewed the guy who did the art direction and some of the weaponry design for Pat Labor, the film. And I asked him the same question. He came back with the same answer. He said, "No, we just wanted to draw a cool ship, you know?"
That's awesome. What I like to hear. I don't get me wrong. I like a meaning. I like a bit thought process behind it. But that is as good a thought process as any. If something looks badass, put it in. Put it in.
Yeah. But obviously, there's lots of religious imagery in this, particularly Noah and the Ark.
Yeah.
It's like he, for those of you who don't know, he has this tendency to have characters be his voice within shows, where, like in Ghost in the Shell, characters are endlessly talking about, like, Descartes and Socrates and these kind of what is reality.
Well,
what is
that's more innocence than.
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. Like, Innocence itself, I've only ever watched twice in my whole life, and both times, I'm determined, before I die, to bill Mamoru Oshii for the 2 hours I'm never going to get back.
But yeah,
I hate it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got the same problem, but that's a lot talkier than this is. There's not much talking going on in this.
But But the thing, it's like he couldn't use dead Greek philosophers, so he's like, oh, you know what I'll do? I'll have the only other character with any dialogue talk about the flood and, you know, the biblical Noah's Ark legend. And it'll be the only constructive conversation in the whole movie. And I'm like, you couldn't even do it. You couldn't just leave the characters to be silent. Like the way Anthony was saying, it's like barely any dialogue. And then suddenly they don't say anything for like the first half of the movie. And then suddenly the man roars to life with, yes, oh, Noah, the flood. Oh, it's terrible. Are we alive? What is reality? Am I alive? Is the rain outside? It's like, I swear to God, the dialogue is that disjointed. It's like that. And I'm saying to myself, dude, just let it go. Whatever happened to you, like, let it go.
Well, yeah, there's a reason why his best things are with Ito doing the writing rather than him in terms of scripts. So he directed this, he wrote this. Animation director, as we mentioned on the Moomin episode, is Yasuhiro Nakura. And character design is by Yoshitaka Amano. And music by Yoshihiro Kano, because obviously the music plays a much bigger part than the actual cast does.
Yeah, the music in this was so good. It was so good. It kind of reminded me of that kind of the lift from Krull the movie, with the kind of the kids' choirs harmonizing and going up and down in scale.
Krull the movie is my angel's egg in that I saw it once and I never want to see it again.
It's Krull. It's awesome. Anyway, he said, blind signing Brian with how fast he got out of that. I like the music here, and I did write in the essay that like it has a great art direction. It has wonderful characters. Amano's designs are absolutely brilliant, except for the fact that I felt so sorry for all the animators, because every time the child moved around, every hair on her head flowed up and then gently flowed down. And you realize, oh my God, they had to animate every last one of those hairs. It's like the landscape design, stunning desolation in every scene, music amazing. And then Oshi comes along and goes, what's it all about, really, folks? Does anyone know? And it's like, it's almost like as if Ridley Scott was given millions of dollars to make this amazing film. And then, like, to give you an example, like, imagine if he had made The Martian, where Matt Damon was on his own with no cutbacks to Earth, no cutbacks to the astronaut. And, like, halfway through the film, Matt Damon just looks at the GoPro camera and goes, what's it all about, folks? Really?
Well, I think it's a very brave film, because I have never once... Actually, I probably have at some points in the past, but I was watching this on a video file, I will openly admit that, and there's times there's a long shot, like the camera is locked on one particular thing, and I was like, oh shit, my computer's froze. And I was so often wiggling the mouse to just make sure it hadn't. And it hadn't, and there's a point in time where they sat, I think it's just after that discussion, where the girl's asleep, he's sat in front of the fire, and the fire's just, yeah, and the fire goes out. I was like, oh, please cut away. It's not going to cut away. It's not going to cut away. And it doesn't cut away for so long.
Why aren't you cutting
and
away?
I was like, oh, God, that's brave.
Let's go. What are they going to cut to, Anthony? There's nobody else around.
The big shadowy fish or so. Or just a different, I don't know, a different angle, but it doesn't. It makes you just think more about stuff that you don't understand, especially in this case.
But that's the problem with the movie. It's so cheap. It does these long shots of where nothing is happening, and the camera just freezes on people. Like, there might be a couple of lips moving, there might be a finger or a head torn, but everything else is completely static. And then for no reason, Oshi will just go, I have this long shot of these two characters as they discuss things, and I'm just going to randomly cut to shots of the rooftops as the fishermen go around and stand in corners for no good reason. And I'm just going to cut back to the dialogue, whatever dialogue there is. And I'm like, what is going on? What's the point?
Well, I don't know if you read that interview that I linked to in the show notes, which I'll stick in the show notes on the site. He does mention that what he thought he was doing was forging a classic, he says, in that it's something which turned into an art film. And
he's not wrong.
Yeah,
you should double bill this with any Ed Wood film. This is the perfect film to go with it. What's going on? Why are they saying this? Why are they going here?
Yeah, but this is well made, though.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point. There's so much talent on screen and behind the camera, so to speak, that you just go, why didn't it come together better? Why didn't it fuse together better? And I mean, I'm
perfectly happy with what they came out with.
I love how, as much as I might dislike Oshii's style, he put his hands up and said, yeah, that shit was so bad that I never worked for a couple of years. And I love how honest he is about it. It's like, yeah, I know I've made a pile.
The thing is, though, I think if it had more action and just more stuff to it, it wouldn't be as memorable. I will remember this film for a long time. And had it been more appealing for people, I think it would just fall dead in the water. I think it would lose a lot about it, whether as he intended it or not, or just forced it out. I don't know, but I want to see this on a big Blu-ray disc with huge speakers and just lights off in the room and just absorb this film.
And have people around you, and then in the silent bits, just cock an ear over to see if they're crying quietly to themselves.
I want to watch it. I want to watch this in a cinema full of people and then watch everyone riot at the end.
I've seen it in a cinema full of people and nobody rioted.
Did anybody walk out in silence?
They all died a little inside, but they didn't riot.
Yes, you were going to go, no. Everyone
but did
high five.
Like, kind of say,
reenacting scenes from the movie.
Did nobody say, so what was in the egg? Not one guy said, so what was in the egg? That's all I was thinking throughout the film, obviously. And also,
it's the only movie, unlike Brazil, it's the only movie I ever wanted a Love Conquers All ending to it. It's just anything but the ending we got.
I was kind of content.
Also, Anthony, what were you going to say?
I was just
going
to say, the end of the film, I didn't know. I don't want to kind of give too. I'm trying to construct it in a way that makes sense for someone listening, but it's tough. It's tough, I'll be honest. The guy, this is after a certain series of events, the guy is just looking into the sky or into the ocean, whatever else, and the camera comes out, and I was like, what the hell has he stood on? And it took me so long to realise that he's on the bottom of a boat.
Yes,
he's on an ark. So I gather these fish shadows. Why didn't the fishermen shoot through to the sky? Because they're the shadows off the on the bottom of the boat. That is my theory.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good theory. It's a great theory.
So if you look up into the sky, but here's the... stop being so, you know, tunnel vision to what you've got. Look to the gods above. There we go.
here's the thing, though, that just, and again, it's kind of like I'm trying to describe an incident to a police officer talking about this, but it's just.
What did he look like?
It's just. Oh, God. He looked bored. He wore a black turtleneck and he was Japanese. What
we
else do you want
guy.
Me to say? But, yeah, we know that guy. You're not the first person he's killed. Here's the thing with the movie, and I said it in the essay as well, is that the movie does so well at trying to get you to think about what's going on. Like, what's going on? Are they really alive? Is it reality? Is it a dream? Are they actually there? And then Anno comes along and goes, nope, it's all about Christianity. Here's some dialogue. It's like...
Anno, you'll get the names wrong as well. You're incriminating people who weren't there.
I wouldn't be shocked if he was involved.
It's terrible. It's genuinely disturbing how little Oshii trusts the audience.
I was never like trying to work out what was happening. I was just letting it wash over me.
But maybe that's just me, Brian. I'm the sort of person who's quite happy to walk out of a film where I didn't have anything explained to me, so long as I'm not treated like an idiot by the filmmaker. I mean, I'm trying to think of something as equally abstract. And the only thing I can come up with off the top of my head personally is 2001. So at the end of 2001, you're kind of given the answer, but it's not really a conclusive answer. But the film doesn't go, what do you think happened? It's just like, that's what happened.
I don't think this goes, what do you think happened? It just refuses to tell you what happened.
But then again, it presupposes that like some of the audience are going to go, well, what's really going on? And then you have dialogue from the man where he kind of hints that reality is not what is supposed to be in the film.
I never got that sense from the film.
Maybe I want too much out of it. I mean, maybe
I think that's right. Yeah, I think you do. I think because I knew what I was getting going into it. I knew it was this sort of curate's egg, if you want to say, of a piece of just like a surreal fantasy story, which doesn't necessarily is going to give you any explanation of what it's doing. And so when I first saw it, I thought, oh, it's like a prog rock album cover come to life. But now, having followed certain tumblers, it's if you took the cover of a 70s sci-fi novel and wrote a plot based on the cover rather than what was in the novel.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, and what confirmed it for me was the screenshot you took for your article, where with the checkerboard floors.
That's the thing
which crops up in so many 70s fantasy and sci-fi artwork.
Yeah. Do you know what I actually think about the film itself?
Osha's pissed off. He's ringing in there to take care
of it. It's like they're calling. No, I tell you what I love about the movie is that there are certain bits about it where Osha didn't mess with it, right? And if you think about it, what he's doing by not deliberately like inserting a line of dialogue or foreshadowing or more fish silhouettes or any such other crap, like stuff like the giant orb eye creature thing that rises out of the water with like all of the statues.
He's had enough.
Oh, he's been got at over that, or his flatmates.
Pitchforks, they've finally got him.
Hang on, I'll be back.
It's funny because I feel like we haven't really said a great deal about what.
I think we're on a hide to nothing trying
it
to
is
explain
tough.
What happens.
It is tough.
The film. The only way to truly understand is to not watch it and then not understand, and you can be as puzzled as we are.
And then try and read, because at work today I was reading different things. I was trying to. I just read different people's reviews because I expected the reviews to be quite mixed, but they're all pretty positive. I think that shows like the kind of people who want to watch it. Chances are going to like it.
Yeah. Philip's clearly an outlier.
I'm so surprised.
Yeah. Thanks for that. I was going to say, I caught the tail end of what Anthony was saying. I was like, am I the lone gunman here or what?
No, just saying, I read a lot of reviews today, and mainly positive, but I think it's just people who find the film to watch, they're probably going to like it because they've gone that far to watch it. Chances are they're into that kind of shit. Good shit. But as I say, I'm surprised that you dislike it. But go on, Philip.
Before Osha put out a hit on me, I was talking about the like the giant fish eye orb things with the statues and things like that. Like, that's never explained. There's no function to it. And like, it's not even like part of the background. It's almost as if it happens off screen from whatever characters have been assembled. And like the man just observes it. He never actually does anything with it. He just looks at it at the end of the movie. And I'm like, what was that about? Isn't that so cool? And then I was like, I've just snatched something that was 10 seconds long out of a movie that's 114 or an hour and 14 minutes long. And I'm like, that can't be all I can take out of it that's positive. It just
I
can't.
I forgot about the eye thing. That's the film right there. There's so much you can overlook. And then, oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because even this time I was counting how many times the bell rings when you suddenly get the fisherman appear. Because that took me by surprise the first time. Because for so long you think, oh, these are the only two people around. And all of a sudden you see those fishermen huddled up in that town waiting to chase the mysterious floating fish.
But then you have the tanks, and the tanks are a bit weird looking. Like the man first arrives into the story in front of the girl on riding on the back of one of these tanks, and then you actually stare really hard at the tanks. And you realize they're actually kind of bioorganic. They have like veins and little cybernetic things coming out of the back of them. But
it was the mid-80s.
Yeah, but I was like, where are they going? Where were they coming from? What war were they in? Do I get an answer? No.
No. But as I said, I knew that's what I was getting when I came in.
I don't know. I need to revise what I was saying. I don't hate the movie. Like, hate is a strong word. My mother's always telling me. Yeah, I dislike it, right? But there are elements to it that are quite good. I mean, there are elements to certain films that I don't like watching, but like there are bits of them where I go, that was inspired, or I liked that. So I can't come away from Angel's Egg and go, I absolutely hated the bones of the thing. It's just, I don't think it's something I would watch again. Like, I've watched it great. I've watched it. I've done a review of it. It's committed to memory now. Never rented in Netflix or, you know, or in...
I don't think there's much chance of that.
Yeah, I know. It's a sort of weird... For like, I love how things like Tezuka's Belladonna of Sadness can get a DVD release. Angel's Egg, no love whatsoever.
No. I think it was... They dragged their heels giving it a DVD release in fan.
Mm.
And I don't think
it's like, fun. Do we have to? Seriously? We have like 48 million volumes of One Piece we could release, and you want to release a DVD of this?
I would buy this on Blu-ray presumably because tomorrow. I swear.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to do
There's
it.
A Kickstarter. There's I a Kickstarter think, right there.
Seriously, if that happened, I think all the people who like it would just crawl out the wherever they are and snap it right up. I think I would hit its Kickstarter fund. No problem at all. It's £44 on Amazon. For a DVD?
Mm-hmm.
What region's that?
That'll be region
yes,
2.
Yes, you're
Japanese.
Correct.
Does it have English subtitles?
It does.
Do you need English subtitles? No,
not.
Probably
not. I can't tell.
As I said, that screening, they had to get University of Sheffield to...
Good job, guys.
I think we could safely recommend, the three of us, that people could go off and buy the Japanese DVD anyway without subtitles, because the actual dialogue, it's literally so minimal that you could get by it.
And it's,
oh yeah, definitely.
Like if you downloaded the you know a translation from any website that runs a sort of thing, you can literally have the entire translation in one A4 page, and that'll be that.
IDB's got the quote section, which is, I think, the script.
Which is weird.
But yeah, you don't need the dialogue. You consider that... You don't.
Yeah, it does point out nicely that the end of Ghost in the Shell with the fossils, the same ones which appear in Angel's Egg.
Yeah. I'm only after figuring that now. I'm looking at your notes, Brian. I was like, at the end of the film, what the? Oh yeah. Okay, yeah.
Also, they claim that.
How
it's
is
referenced
this possible?
In Lisa the Skeptic.
What's Lisa the
episode
Skeptic?
Oh, of The Simpsons. Because there's a fossilized angel.
That's
I'm not sure that is true.
That's a stretch. Seriously,
I
that's
suspect
stretch.
There's probably other things with fossilized angels.
There'll be millions. Well, maybe not millions.
Quite possibly before Angel's Egg. I would say highly likely. Back to that 70s sci-fi nonsense. Yes.
At the end of our journey here, I will say that chatting to Brian and Anthony, I've come round to the concept that it's probably not going to be something where I'm going to put Oshi on my enemies list, you know, Nixon style. But it's, like I said, it's a movie I've watched, that I've understood, that I've taken some sort of interpretation from, and I'm done. I don't have to watch it again. And, you know, kudos to anyone who sits there and goes, oh, I can't wait to buy this on Blu-ray. You know, I know that I'm there with Anthony buying a Blu-ray of this. It's like, okay.
What we should do, Anthony, is do this every year and force somebody else to watch it.
I know I'm going to gain something the second time, or the next time I watch it. And I know there's a shit ton of people who haven't seen this as well. I guarantee, like, out of our friends.
There's a shit ton of people who haven't. There's a shit ton of people who have never seen Odin, like, and that movie
Odin?
Should be watched once a year.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen Odin.
Oh,
why would I want to?
2011.
Why would?
I was going to say. I believe the problem with Odin is part of the problem with Odin is it's too long. Whereas that is definitely not the problem with this film.
No. It's like literally the opening prologue of Odin wouldn't even come close to the entire running time of Angel's Egg. Like, you wouldn't even have come
close.
What is Odin? You'd be like, Odin. Odin is like the guy who created Star Blazers and Battleship Yamato. Like, he had taken digs from the public and the press, saying that you know, the only reason why he was so good at Battleship Yamato was because head gone completely blank here. The guy who created Captain Harlock, Leiji Matsumoto, like, the only reason why it was that good was Matsumoto was helping him. So he's like, I can do this on my own without Matsumoto. And he went off and made this 2.5-hour epic that was supposed to be the first movie in a trilogy for a trilogy no one wanted, that no one went to see and no one cared about. And I literally, I own the only only DVD copy of the director's cut of this movie. Like, it was only like issued out by Central Park Media once, and it was almost because Central Park Media got tricked into buying the movie to begin with. There's a whole story behind it, but I'm not going into it now. Suffice it to say that you come out of Angel's Egg going, oh, that was kind of boring, whereas you come out of Odin going, that was boring, but it was great comedy, you know?
Came out the same year. Oh, well. So there you go.
Oh my God, that's even...
It was a great year for anime that nobody wanted to watch.
Well, Odin's on YouTube in its entirety.
Yeah, like, yeah, you should, seriously, you need to watch it. Now, there's no point, Brian, asking me to come back to do an Odin podcast, because I love the movie, and I'd be the only person going, well, it wasn't this great, folks. You should inflict this on somebody else who's never heard of it.
I don't know if it's my cup of tea.
My memory of Odin is being at a Minami con, and there was a homeless Odin tape in the corridor.
I think I've heard about that.
With a cigarette sticking out the side of its VHS box.
Oh, brilliant. It's probably worth a bit of money now. Maybe. Nah.
I doubt it. I imagine there's a lot of them, because people were like, oh, yeah, Akira, excellent. Yeah, buy that. Oh, Fist of the North Star. Yeah, I'm going to buy that. Watch
Odin.
That. What's next? Let's buy Odin.
Odin?
Never buying another one of these manga videos again.
Everyone comes with a complimentary cigarette.
So you reckon this is the best use of a Mano character design in animation?
Vampire Hunter D. Oh, I love Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah. Yeah,
the original Vampire Hunter D. I think this is
looks
the
better.
Vampire.
It looks yeah, yeah. What year's the original Vampire Hunter D again? Not as old as this.
Late 90s.
It's late '80s, early '90s, isn't it? Because I know I got tripped up on our last show with Vampire Hunter D. Bloodlust, and I was like, was it like 2000 or something?
85. Same year.
Same year then.
What the hell? I'm just trying to think of for the Amano design. I mean. All of his designs, but I know what you get. I know what you get. I think it's a tough call.
I think this one captures the detail.
Because Vampire Hunter D is pitch black. As we mentioned, it's so dark, at least on my DVD. It's very hard to see the designs, whereas this is pretty crisp.
And by Bloodlust, it's very got a much more machine to it.
Mm-hmm. Amano and Oshii's careers are such that if this ever did get an English language release, it would be on the top of the box, would be from the director of Ghost in the Shell and the character designer 100%. Of Final Fantasy.
Yes, that's the thing. It's one of those things where I think you could sell it based on
there'd be some angry
that.
Customers. But
but it's like why it's like the same thing. It's like there must be some sort of either reluctance because it didn't do well initially.
Mm.
In which case, you must think, surely you'd be able to get it cheap or some sort of rights.
We
title.
Should buy the rights.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine like a bit like the people who own the copyright on Angel's Egg would be like I know we were joking about it just now, but say myself, you, and Anthony approach and said like we'd like to buy the rights. Like,
have them.
I can't see them. I can't see them going, no, we're holding out for Funimation or Sentai to get the rights from us. It's like, they're never going to ask for the rights for this thing, ever. It's a sort of title that would be foisted on a distributor who wanted something better.
Yes.
It's like, would you like Black Butler Season 3? Sure, but you're going to have to take Angel's Egg.
Oh, you know what? It could be the thing that it's edited into could be the reason.
That film. Is that a garbage film?
Yeah. But
the one Phillips probably
in the aftermath.
In the aftermath.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's awful, but it's like it's an Roger Corman film, so it's Terry good, you know. It's kind of like that. To explain to people at home, Roger Corman saw Angel's Egg. I don't know how the hell he saw Angel's Egg, but he was one of those blokes. Like he's the guy who we have to thank for the director's cut of The Wicker Man. He actually held onto a copy for decades without actually realizing that he had it in his hands. So in the same way, it's like Roger Corman got access to the sort of things that most people could only dream of. But he saw the film and said, huh, this is awesome. I think what I'll do is I'll sublet the rights to this for me. And he then took the film and cut it into pieces. And then he shot live action plates around animation of the girl. And in his one, it was like the post-apocalypse. And there's only one savior who can help us, you know, defend mankind against evil doers or some sort. And the thing was, he'd intercut the segments with segments from Angel's Egg. And that's how I originally got exposed to the film. I was going, that looks like anime, but what is it? I don't know. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh,
sounds
God.
Weird.
But it's really bad. It's really, really bad. But it's the sort of film where I would come away going, well, God, Carmen got a better use out of Oshii's animation than Oshii did.
But yeah, I wonder whether that's the rights reason why that one's
licensed
it. One last thing. Would you prefer it as a Lupin the Third movie? Because that's what it started out as.
I'd kill for it to have been a Lupin the Third movie.
Both back-to-back and a double Blu-ray. Perfect.
Though, apparently, only the Fossil of an Angel is the only thing which remains from the Lupin the Third plot
we are she had. We, as a collective global society, are lesser for that not being a Lupin the Third episode.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Oshii's Lupin.
Would be cool. Different.
Like, and I say it as a person who has a low tolerance for Oshii. It would have been different. It would have been something we'd never seen before.
Yeah. I think, actually, I'd be much more interested in see Ito write a Lupin the Third script.
Mm.
I think he could do a good Lupin the Third script. Because he's very good with dialogue. Or at least he used to be. He would have been around that time. I'm not so sure with after Hacksight whether I agree with that anymore.
Your favourite.
Well, Brian started that whole sentence about Ito in cruising altitudes. Yes.
Quickly backtracked on it.
In the
mid-80s, the Eurosatsura gang doing the Lupin the Third, that would have been a top-notch idea. But there is weirdly, and we watched it for our Lupin the Third episode when we watched a bit of every series, there is an episode of Part 3 which is about an angel's egg.
Cool.
It doesn't resemble this in the slightest. It does have an evil Margaret Thatcher. Although it's just a Margaret Thatcher.
A good Margaret Thatcher.
There is no good Margaret Thatcher. There is no evil. There is only Margaret Thatcher.
Cloned it as well. It sort of plays off the Falkland.
See, I can't remember that episode, but when you said the Margaret Thatcher thing, I was like, oh, I kind of remember something, but I can't remember the angel's egg.
Yes, because Margaret Thatcher's trying to invade... Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. It's got some terrible pun on the Falkland Islands in order to get hold of this angel's egg.
My mind is drawn a blank. I vaguely remember that, but...
I was just going over some of your notes, Brian, in relation to Oshii and that show that he did, Twilight Q, and it struck me that Oshii was one of those people who you expected to have the kind of career that Anno did and the way right now Shinkai and Mamoru Hosoda have. You expected him to go on to do bigger and better things. But the thing is, he seems to can't make up his mind if he's an anime director or a live action director. And as a result, I think a lot of his projects are kind of like, so. And it's telling you something when the only way for him to make bread and butter for himself anymore is to go back and put the official stamp on a live action reboot of Pat Labor, which is kind of sad.
It's not a reboot, it's a sequel.
Who's doing this?
Because there's the Pat Labor live action. Is it a series? Movie series? I can't get ahead of it.
As I understand it, it's a series and they've chopped up parts of the first two episodes and made it into a compilation film. Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
It's a sequel, not a reboot, because Shigeru Chiba plays the same character he plays in the anime.
All right. Well, it's just, I saw the trailer just today, the latest trailer, which I think came out, the trailer itself came out in July, but I wasn't really interested in watching it, but I'm only after watching it today. And I'm like, yeah, I can see where it's going. It's going to retread maybe the territory that the movies did. But I was like, oh, wow, yeah, Japanese filmmakers still haven't figured out what contrast control is or depth or color or lighting or anything like that. It just looks like the standard TV Tokyo kind of made for television. I'm like, well, Oshii, this is the real, like, you thought you could make sky crawlers and get away with it. This is your penance, is that you got to work in Japanese television now.
What I saw wasn't too bad, but it was pure. The thing I saw, I can't remember if it was maybe just in the episode zero, is just Shigeru Chiba wandering around reminiscing about his adventures in the cartoon.
Which is cool. I mean, I have to say, anything that directly connects itself to Pat Labor, I'm perfectly fine with. Even if Oshii is involved with it, I don't care. It's just, it's perfect. I'm fine.
Yeah, because obviously the thing is, he plays like the younger mechanic in the anime.
And now he's the old guy.
And now now he's grown up to be like the old guy.
I didn't see that bit of the clip you're talking about. Is he wearing the old man aviator shades?
I think he is, yes.
Great, that's even better.
Because I think he probably wears those in real life anyway. Okay, I think that's enough Angel's Egg. So 2 out of 3 say yeah. Go watch it. And if you don't watch it, we'll probably force you to watch it next
year. Is it easy to find? Like, I know I was supplied with this, but was it easy to find?
I mean, there's fan subs around.
Okay. There you go, peeps. There you go.
It's the sort of thing where you never see like the chilling effects, copyright takedown notifications on these things.
Quite possibly, yes.
It's like, oh, you guys are stealing Naruto. That's terrible. What are you stealing now? Oh, Angel's like, you're good. You're good. It's fine.
Yeah, I didn't look to see whether it's just on YouTube. It may well just be on YouTube for all I know.
1080p. I highly doubt it.
It's like there's like one episode of Love Hina. Actually, maybe multiple episodes of Love Hina, which has just been up there since YouTube started. No one's taken them down. Angel's Egg. Let me have a look. Angel's Egg.
You check on YouTube.
Yeah, it's all there. You can just watch it on YouTube. It's been up 2 years.
122,000 views.
Actually, hang on. I was going to quack away here.
I wonder.
Not whether we're encouraging piracy.
No, absolutely not.
And actually, there's like one of 9 from 9 years ago as well. So it's been up there for 9 years without anyone taking it down.
Okay, and again, I'm not trying to, encourage people to copyright violate by watching things, but in the aftermath, all of it in one file is available on YouTube.
Do it.
Do it.
I don't think I'm going to. I think I'll take Philip's word that In the Aftermath isn't worth watching.
Yeah, oh, I forgot it. The whole title of it is In the Aftermath, semicolon, Angels Never Sleep.
Great title.
Well, let's wrap things up with a game.
Have we got a
keyword quiz?
I can't wait. I can't wait to be defeated yet again.
There wasn't enough egg-related anime for me to pick, so I've got
I'm shocked. Shocked at all.
I've gone to Pat Labour. I will do police-related anime.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say, now dredge up everything you've ever remembered about Pat Labour.
I'm going to sort these by relevance this time. Let's see if this goes a bit quicker so I don't have to write out 300 words. Okay, the first one is a TV anime from 2006.
Hold on. Is it Philip to go first, or is it where we jump in, yeah? Jump in. Okay.
You jump in.
Start again.
You jump in.
Yes.
Anime. Detective. Magical realism. Confrontation. Intelligence. Conspiracy. Heart attack. Death. FBI. Police. Serial murder. Note.
Death Note.
That is correct.
Yes!
Can I just check? This can be from any time, yes?
I said 2006.
Right, I missed that bit. Damn, I would have definitely got that.
This is an anime film from 1995. Okay, right. You should be able to get this quite quickly, I think.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yes, I was going to guess before you even said anything, but I thought, nope.
The next one was Section 9. So.
It's like...
Yes!
Okay, this is a TV anime from 2012. Japan. Criminal. Police. Eye removal.
Psychopaths.
Bingo.
Boom.
That's 2 to Anthony. 1 to Philip. This is a OAV from 1988.
What?
I'm going to have to go back to alphabetical. It's going to be too easy. It would just be me saying a word and you jumping in. Anime. Based on a comic. Based on a manga. Cult film. Cyberpunk. Dystopia. Fictional war.
Akira?
No. Uh-huh. Police. Police brutality. Surrealism.
Dominion Tank. I was going to guess that a little earlier, but I thought I'm going to hold off. Safety first.
Yeah. So...
And I'll do this one by relevance. This is fine. This is the last one. This is according to IMDb, a 1990 TV miniseries.
When you say it like that, does that mean it's not that at all?
It might not be that, no.
Okay.
Okay, Police, TV miniseries. Someone's really sure that it is one. Profanity, sentience, swearing, satellite, immortality, computer hacker, noir, explosion.
Is it Cyber City Alito?
You are correct.
Yes! I was saying, I thought, it was the miniseries that kind of threw us off. Like
it was the 1990 that gave it for me.
Great film.
Are you in, Anthony?
I'm good at this. If I'm in the right, if I'm in a wrong frame of mind, when I was against, was it Niall? And I just got hammered. I was destroyed that game. Like, my brain couldn't function.
I'm glad I managed to salvage 2 points against three, because I didn't want it to be like the last time where it was like I was just
I was
destroyed
a beast then
completely
as well.
And utterly. Oh yeah.
Also, I didn't want it to be the last time when I had to read out all the keywords.
Yeah, what was it? Like, what were you
for
up to?
Vampire Hunter D, bloodless.
It's like, what is he talking about? What the hell title is he talking about? And then I was robbed by blurting out Vampire Hunter D. No, we were talking about Bloodlust. Thank you very much.
So I thought Anthony would get straight away after that. But no, just let me carry on reading all those words out.
Maybe I knew all along.
Okie dokie. Anything you want to plug, Philip?
Yeah, I decided to start writing on my actual website, eversize.com, again, after being inactive for most of the summer. I'm going to go back onto social media at the end of the year after being away for 6 months. I think that I've pretty much got... I quit social media in the summertime because I found that I wasn't actually putting my own opinion into social media. I was just retweeting and reblogging everyone else's concepts and statements and buy this, support that. And I was like, I'm quitting social media. But I'm back now from the new year. Other than that, no, can't think of anything else I want to plug, except for the fact that, you know, if any of you are currently going through college and doing a diploma course and really hating your life, I'm there with you because I'm currently having all my free time, except for obviously helping Brian by watching things like Angel's Egg. Other than that, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Anthony.
Oh, stop. Sorry. If anyone wants to talk with me on social media, you find me at Eepers Choice on Twitter. I won't probably respond to you for a couple of months, so just think of it as the world's longest answering service.
Yes.
Anthony.
What would you like? I have lots. Well, two things. If you go to YouTube and search Adventure Bastards, and you should see results. If it's the correct one, it's uploaded by a channel called Locked Door Puzzle, and it's me playing Call of Cthulhu stuff. If you watch the latest video of me, I've got really long hair, and I've now got short hair, and it's horrible looking back. I look like Snape from Harry Potter. So,
are you sure? Are you sure you don't look like Dave?
No,
from the
I'm clean shaven at this point, so it really is a Snape haircut, and it is grim. So I don't think I'll grow it back for a while until I forget that image, and I might grow back. I think, oh, it looks pretty good. Anyway, that's ongoing. That's always been updated every Thursday and Tuesday. So often enough. And Twitter is AntAskew. AntAskew, not Askew, Ant. AntAskew. I nearly spelled the wrong way around.
But if you want to start up the Askew.
Yes. Oh, I do it myself. And pretend someone else. Oh, those darn Twitter fiends. Askew.
He makes himself sound like an Enid Blytonger. No, it's Richard Twitter fiends. Stole my honey.
Thing is, I can maybe get away with saying loads of offensive stuff if I... Oh, it's a parody account. Oh, someone's made a parody account.
Various.
Anyway, yes, I'm also on Twitter at awesome_engine. And as always, you may find this podcast at dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, on Stitcher, on player.fm, and of course, the king of them all, iTunes. So why don't you subscribe and write a review so more people can find out about the good eggs that are Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.